Okay. So basically, we have two overarching policy goals. Can we reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and can we align insurance costs with driving behavior? Now, this might seem to be unusual for a regulator to point these things out, but what I have to explain to you is that in Maryland in 2007, our governor issued an executive order to create a climate change commission, and the climate change commission was supposed to study ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. One of the things that was required was a climate action plan be created within 1 year. So in August of 2008, that climate action plan was actually issued, and pay-as-you-drive insurance was an item that was mentioned in that plan. So as you can see from the slide, the policy option would tie consumer insurance costs to actual motor vehicle travel use, so premiums would be directly related to hours or miles driven. There you have it. So another thing that was mentioned in that plan, which I didn't put on the slide, was that there was a policy goal as well. And that goal was to make pay-as-you-drive coverage available to all Maryland drivers as early as possible and push for adoption by Maryland drivers by the 2012 time frame. So as you can see, in Maryland, this was something that was championed. Okay. All right. So we get into rating factors, okay? And you know, as has been stated here today, UBI basically is a discount from a premium standpoint. Now, the thought process is, I guess, if we really measure the way that people drive and their driving behavior, that's a good thing. It should be that auto premiums are established based on your driving behavior. But we also know that there are a host of other factors that insurers consider, and I've listed quite a few there. It's not an exhaustive list. Interestingly enough, the question then becomes, will usage-based insurance or your actual driving behavior replace any of these factors? Many of these things have been somewhat controversial, of course, the use of education, occupation, credit scoring among them. And the thought process here, again, is going forward, if more people opt for usage-based insurance and the devices are in the car and you actually measure driving behavior, will it eliminate the need for some of these other factors, or will this just be something else in combination with those factors? And I think these are some of the things that have come up in the Auto CD study group. And again, you know, the question there is, you know, are some of these factors unfairly discriminatory? Do they have an adverse impact on low-income individuals specifically? So again, the question becomes, will usage-based insurance, if adopted by more people, actually bring premiums down, for everyone and low-income people as well? Okay, so when we're looking at these filings, there are a lot of questions that we ask. Some insurers don't exactly like all the questions that we're asking, but it's sometimes very difficult to determine what is being done and how it's being done, because there are so many different devices and so many different ways to measure things. So basically, when we see a filing come in from an insurer, the first question we're asking is, what devices are being provided to insureds? And as you've heard here earlier today, in some cases now you don't even need a device. The smartphones can actually transmit the data, if the car is equipped with some sort of onboard device. The next question then is, what data are captured, and Is it being captured consistently? I can think of one filing that we had where an insurer was going to use two different devices. One was compatible with certain vehicles, and another one was compatible with other makes and models. The devices actually were not able to measure the same things. So that was a concern to us, clearly, and in that particular case, we said, you better find the common ground among these devices, and that's what you'll measure, not one thing for one group of vehicles and another thing for a different group, okay? Basically, most of the companies are considering the miles driven, the time of day that the person is driving, the speed, the left turns, the right turns, and the speed going into the turns, how many times you accelerate rapidly, how many times you brake hard, and location. So, you know, this just raises all sorts of questions. And, you know, I've gone through some of them here so that you can see, did the insurer develop the model itself, or is it relying on a model developed by someone else? Were there other models utilized, and what were the assumptions made? Oftentimes, you know, we see the GLMs with these factors, but then when you get to that last one, location, there may be other models that were out there, what Alan just sort of referred to. These models can tell you everything about the location. How many businesses, is it residential, one-way street, stop signs, lights, hills, valleys, et cetera. So, you know, we're looking at how people drive and then how they're driving under certain conditions. Some of our other concerns and questions, you know, how frequently will the data be transmitted from the device when the vehicle is in motion? Is it every 30 seconds, every 60 seconds, 20 seconds? For how long? How long must the device remain in the vehicle to obtain a valid sample of driving behavior? Some insurers require the device to remain in the vehicle for 30 days. Some require the device to stay in the vehicle all the time. How much data do you need to get a valid sample of someone's driving behavior? And then, of course, where is all the data stored, for how long, and who has access to it? Does the insurer have it? Is it with a third-party vendor? Can other people access it? What other usages will there be for this data? What combination of the data results in a discount? So, you know, how many miles driven or left turns or hard braking events, et cetera, yield a discount? And if your discounts are in a range of 5% to 30% or something like that, what exactly gets me from one level of discount to the next? So those are all questions that we ask, along with some of these others, when we were reviewing these filings. And then you get into the whole compliance issue after the fact. So the person accepts the UBI device. How do insurers prove that the appropriate discount has been applied? This can potentially become an issue if a complaint is filed or in a market conduct exam. I've stated here that a simple summary report may not be enough. We have one filing where basically, what the insurer was proposing is to provide a summary report of the data, and this sort of went along with a concept of there are certain geographic zones that are better or safer to drive in than others. So if you're in a green zone, which was a good zone, versus a red zone, which was a bad zone, how do you tell how much time the person spent driving in the green zone versus in the red zone? And, if somebody were to challenge how much time they were in the green zone versus the red zone, how do you prove it? How do you prove they were in that zone more than the other? Okay. Which then, of course, ties back into what is disclosed to the insurers, how is it disclosed, and when is this disclosed. One of the things that we do ask for with the filings would be copies of the the disclosures that are actually provided to the insureds. You know, we want to know exactly what the insureds are being told, whether, you know, as Roger indicated, whether, do they read them up front? We can't guarantee that, but is the information in them at least? Okay. What is provided to them at the time that they sign up for the program, at the time the device is installed or provided? Are they given any idea, you know, what hours of the day are favorable, what number or ratio of left turns to right turns is good, how many hard stops are okay, how many then throw you into the bucket of not so good driving behavior, et cetera. So everybody's touched on this one too. You know, can this data be used for purposes other than auto ratings, such as law enforcement or accident claims investigations, marketing and sales? I mentioned the zones. How do companies or rating organizations or vendors establish the geocoded zones or bands based on the traffic and population data? And frankly, you know, can the regulator conduct effective reviews under competitive rating or file and use statutes? There are a lot of moving parts and pieces to these things. And, if the laws of the state are file and use, by the time we may get around to reviewing them or actually asking all the questions, the plans may actually be in effect. Another thing would be when a discount is being removed or a premium is being increased because your driving behavior is no longer deemed good, do you have to send a notice to the insured? And if you do send a notice to the insured, what exactly does that notice say? What kind of information is being presented to the insured? And then the last one here is, how do regulators explain this in plain language, plain and simple terms, when a complaint comes in or a consumer calls, asking, why is this discount being removed, or, how do I prove that, either the data is inaccurate or maybe, the discount shouldn't be removed, or a discount should be greater than the one that's actually been applied. So those are some of the concerns as a regulator that we see with these programs. Having said all of that, I will tell you that there are more than a few. There's about seven of them, I believe, that have actually that are actually in use in the state of Maryland. Okay.
Well, oh, something else?
Yes, C-T-E-L-E.
C-T-E-L-E-2, that means something to you,
yes.
I believe?
Yes, to me and several out there.
Okay, C-T-E-L-E-2, write it down, says Eric. Okay. B-5? No, I'm sorry. Okay. That was an excellent presentation to precede our next speaker. I get rather agitated about this whole issue of connected cars because in the automotive industry, the industry is dominated by guys who just want to wrap metal around, an engine and four wheels, and they really are not interested in this modem or a display in the car, and the industry still has not come to grips with it. And with regard to the insurance industry, this is still very early days, even though, I don't know, are we 7 or 8 years into usage-based insurance, going back to Italy with Octo and Norwich? 16 years. Okay. Oh. Come back for Bernie? Okay. Well, I had a really great lead-in for Bernie, but what I'm going to suggest is lunch, get your lunch, bring it in, and then when you're all seated, Bernie will speak. And you will see how perfect the timing was at that time. So please, help yourselves.